Beloved radio friends, in the ever-worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus, we come into your presence through this radio program with the Word of God again. We rejoice in the privilege of touching upon the eternal truth, and those eternal truths may even be prophetic truths regarding the future in the purposes of God. We would conclude today our consideration from the scriptures concerning the last great siege of Jerusalem. We go again to the 14th chapter of the prophecy of Zechariah. I'd like to read at verse 11 and point out to you as we read on what will be the outcome of that siege and how God, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, will destroy the nation. Men shall dwell in that city of Jerusalem, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations or heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. May I pause and stop the reading of the scriptures at this place in order to indicate regarding our subject, God will visit in judgment the nation who shall be seeking the destruction of his remnant people at Jerusalem. It will be the last great siege. Now we have not been told before this in the reading of the scriptures and our meditation upon them what God will do in the way of destroying the armies around Jerusalem. But we have in the 12th verse of this 14th chapter, the last chapter of Zechariah, we have the statement that God will plague the enemy. He will smite them. Now, whatever the infliction is, it effectively destroys the enemy. But God does tell us, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Oh, beloved, that flesh that has been lifted up in pride, that has been manifested in lust and appetite, seeking the destruction of God's earthly people and ravaging the city and the women and so on, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Now, beloved, I have no way of interpreting this in the way of invisible rays. But all I have to say, it doesn't take much for an omnipotent God to bring this to pass. But while they are standing on their feet, their flesh will be consumed away. But go further. Their eyes, those eyes that have lusted, the lust of the eyes that have been manifested by the nation and by the armies gathered around Jerusalem, their eyes shall consume away in their holes. And beloved, 'twill be a complete destruction. And then again, their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. The tongue that has been used to blaspheme against God, as will be the language and the voice of the nations. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth and the rulers have gathered together to set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That will be the language of the people in that day, as recorded in the second Psalm, verses 1 through 3. But the flesh that has lusted, the eyes that have lusted, the tongues that in their pride have boasted, they shall be destroyed. And not only that, together and in addition, it shall come to pass there'll be a great confusion among them, a confusion that will be divinely ordained, that even shall they lay hold every one on his neighbor, and fighting against one another, they will help destroy each other. And then we have another addition, which has been mentioned in chapter 12 too. Judah also shall fight as Jerusalem. Now again we repeat, God doesn't write everything he knows in one chapter concerning any specific subject. And we have again mentioned that Judah will also, by supernatural enabling grace and strength, be fighting against their enemies. But the result will be that the wealth of the nation will come into the hands of God's earthly people. And all the battle, all the instruments of battle and war, as indicated by the horse, the mule, the camel, the ass, and beasts, and tents, whatever they are in that day, they'll be destroyed with the plague. Now may I point out what must be emphasized as we close this great study. Though it's one of great solemnity, it ends with one of great glory. And in the 16th verse of our chapter, we read on, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." May I remind you what we read in the 9th verse, the 9th verse of our same chapter. "The Lord shall be King over all the earth, and the living of the nations that are spared and remain, the saved of the Gentiles of that day, will be compelled from year to year to travel up to Jerusalem to worship the King." My beloved, may I say, there are many Holy Land tours today. I've never seen so many public tours to the Holy Land, one that I may personally participate in. But my beloved, may I say, there'll be many tours to the Holy Land in the millennial day. And every nation will be compelled to be represented year by year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and especially to keep what will be the greatest commemorative feast. For there will be two commemorative feasts, I believe, in the millennial kingdom. One will be the Passover feast, and you'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 45. The Passover feast will be kept. That feast that commemorates the death and the redeeming death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His death can never be forgotten. Long ago in the Old Testament, the Passover feast pointed toward his death. But in the millennial day, it will be in commemoration pointing backward to the great death of the Son of God upon the cross. But there'll be another feast. The Feast of Tabernacles, which was the greatest, the most joyous of all the feasts in Israel, and there were 7 of them annually to be kept. And this feast will be kept, the Feast of Tabernacles, commemorating their deliverance, their glory, their kingdom, and their king. And may I say again, there'll be many Holy Land tours. But may I point out, the present Holy Land tours are to look over the land, to look at the historical places. But the Holy Land tour in that coming day is to worship the King. And note, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they'll have no rain. That shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite and punish the nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle. That will be the punishment of Egypt. That will be the punishment of all nations that will not come up in that day to keep the feast of tabernacle. Ah, beloved, talk about going to church. Would to God I could make people go today. But may I state, in that millennial day, the city of Jerusalem will be the center of divine worship. And the nations of the earth will be compelled if they are to obey the Lord in that day. And if they are to be blessed, prospered, and blessed, it will indeed depend on their obedience to the authority of the king. They'll come up to worship the king. What a change in the city. I wish it were here. But then may I close the chapter by the last two verses to point out to you the holy character of that Jerusalem that is yet to come. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar, the vessels before the altar. They were holy vessels. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seed or boil therein, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite, better rendered the merchantman, in the house of the Lord of hosts. Beloved, may I point first of all to this solemn, the glorious fact. Holiness unto the Lord will be manifested in the city of Jerusalem in that coming day. It really will be literally the holy city. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of God. And holiness will be the character of the city, not just of the altar, not only of the Lord's house, but even every vessel, and even the suggestion that even the bells of the horses show that down to the minutest characteristic of the city, holiness unto Jehovah will be manifested. Hallelujah. What a time that will be. And then may I point out, there will be in that day not only the participation of divine holiness dwelling there, but there'll never be any defilement. You remember when the Lord was here, he drove the money changers out of the house of the Lord, and he said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves because of their merchandising. And in verse 21 of the closing words of our chapter, in that day, there'll never be any merchantmen trying to ply their trade in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. May God soon bring to pass the glory of the city of Jerusalem, and that last great siege be consummated by the return of our blessed Messiah and Lord for his name's sake. Father, bless thy word. Sanctify to the blessing of all in Jesus' name. Amen.